Welcome to the universe we call home, as well as others. Here, we collide the universes of fact and fiction. Are you ready to take it to the max? Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the podcast. Zach, how's it going? Welcome back.
Back from a while.
I know.
Back from, it's been a while, but now we are virtually podcasting now. Well,
virtually podcasting.
As the time going, we're virtually podcasting now.
Hopefully
not as long as we hope to, because this my audio is terrible, but you know, we can.
I was just going to bring up your fantastic audio, but.
Can you guys hear my beautiful mic? I'm sure everyone can hear it perfectly.
I wish there was a way to boost your audio, so I'm just going to, well, whatever. We'll see how this goes.
No, don't worry. They can deal with me sounding perfect.
So okay. I got sick, just like a normal cold, but just based off when we're recording this.
That's what he tells us.
Just based off when we're recording this, we're just not going to do it. We're just going to kind of just obviously record and call. Don't want to get spreading anything. And you know what? I think, honestly, at any time, if you're sick, it's kind of just disrespectful to get close to someone and talk in their face. So,
obviously.
So we're not going to be recording.
We're taking the proper precautions.
That's good. We're pretty much health officers, just like our last guest on the podcast. If you haven't listened to that, go give it a listen. Quick plug, shameless there.
It's a proper plug, Max. Don't worry.
Anyway, Zach, is there anything you want to say before we get into this episode today?
It's been a while. We're back. I mean, it's been a while, mostly because of school and everything going on. And someone had a deadly cold called COVID. And we're here. That's basically why we're online. But yeah, it's been a while.
You know, it's
good to be back.
I mean, the professional podcasters, they don't have as much in their job is podcasting, so they don't have to worry about conflict interference. But you know what? We're getting it down.
We're getting it down. It's okay.
We're getting it down. So today, I want to talk about one of the most fundamental things in our world.
Ever.
And that is gravity. And Zach, I'm pretty sure you're a big fan of gravity. I mean, you know, you're quite attracted to it, you know? You're quite attracted to it.
Pun intended there, I don't know.
Absolutely.
Hopefully I picked that one up. Yeah, well, not just me, everyone is attracted to it equally.
Yeah. So,
you know, gravity's out there playing. It's playing game. It's out there. It's making moves. We're all attracted to it.
Yeah. So I think I just want to go first through like kind of a history of the understanding of gravity, which is
a lot.
It's funny how far we have came since, you know, the original thoughts upon gravity. And I guess we got to look gravity. We have to look first though at the Greek understanding of gravity.
We know that far back if you want to.
You know we like to make fun of the Greeks, and I'll give them that. They're very smart, some of them.
For their time.
But I'd like to hope that we're a little bit more advanced at this point.
I think that's safe to say. I think we can be okay assuming that.
Yeah, so I think their understanding of gravity, especially from, you know, some of the more prominent philosophers, they didn't even really have scientists at the time. It was more a mix between philosophy and science was their pretty much understanding of it. But basically what they understood was rocks wanted to be with rocks, air wanted to be with air, water with water, and fire somewhere between air and fire. Their understanding was objects just felt like they had to be in a certain place.
Whatever strange reason that might be.
I mean, it makes sense in context. Like, think about it, Zach. That would fit a perfect description of what you want, all the stuff that you want. All gases are lighter than any solid that you'd see. So solids all naturally fall to the bottom, and most liquids are in between that range. And like that is an assumption that seems fair to make, at least, I guess.
Max, did the Greeks have ice?
No, they didn't. Zach, I mean, they lived in Greece. That's kind of in the middle of the world.
They didn't have a freezer to just, you know, chuck a glass of water in.
Well, I don't think they had the freezers we had today. They probably had ice pits. They probably got cold.
Somewhere. They could have observed that water turning into ice.
And if we're going to go there, Zach, you know I have to. I want to talk about how fantastic water is. And just specifically ice. The fantastic thing about ice is it is less dense than liquid water, which is something that we take for granted, but is so fundamental to life being like able to live. And it's fundamental to, I think it's Titan, the possibility of life on Titan, perhaps. No, not Titan. It's Triton. One of the moons. No, it's Triton. One of the moons Europa. Of Jupiter. Jupiter. Yeah, Europa.
Europa.
The reason is, think about it this way, Zach. If it were a cold day and there were a lake outside, okay? Just picture this. You have some fish swimming around. And if ice formed at the bottom. Okay, so first I want. Okay. Yeah, this is what I do.
Rework it.
So, okay, I want to first tell you about convection. Now, some of us may know what this is. Some of us may have heard the word in their ovens. But convection is basically a heating way, but it's also a way of cooling. If you think about it this way, convection is like we have, let's say you have a heat source. I have like a torch, okay? And I place it at the bottom of the ground, right?
Right.
It will heat up the colder, more dense air at the bottom, which will rise up and lower into more cool air, which will allow that to heat up. And it will keep spreading the heat around. Whereas if you put that heat up at the top, well, now you're heating up just the stuff at the top that will just kind of keep rising and stay up at the top, and you'll never get the stuff at the bottom. Convection allows you to heat everything. But it's the same with cooling because, you know, just throwing ice out of the picture for a second.
All right, let's get rid of it.
It's colder at the bottom of the lake because you're heating the top. And because you're heating the top, that means the bottom's always being cooled. And that means that there's no convection going on. And it's just going to stay cooler at the bottom and warmer at the top because the heat is not sending any particles down. And the cooling is not heating up particles to lift them up. So there's no convection in that scenario, right? And in that case, if ice formed at the bottom, it would kind of just, well, okay, man. I have not done the podcast in a while. Still love it, though. But the good thing is, when ice forms at the top, what I'm trying to say is it traps the heat at the bottom and just allows that to be.
That's not good.
And it just traps the heat inside and allows life to live in there. And, like, the things with Europa, there is heating in the core, which is convection. And it heats up the warm water, which sends it up. But the ice layer keeps in the heat. And if ice formed at the bottom, it'd be a completely different scenario. Does that sound right? Zach, you still there?
Yeah, good. I mean, good. It don't make sense to me at a little bit, but you clearly know a bit more about early gravity. And water.
All I'm trying to say is ice is a fantastic thing, and its properties as being less dense than water is cool. Even if I didn't properly explain it, the fact that it is less dense is just, and it's also just weird because most things, as they go from gas to liquid to solid, they increasingly become more dense, but it doesn't. But,
you know, we can just meh. Water.
But again, there's some easy problems. There's some easy problems with the Greek model, such as wood.
Well, I mean, it was 2,000 years ago. You expected them to be right?
No, but I'm just saying it's a stupid thing because wood is attracted down to the ground, but it will float on water. So explain that one to me. They lived on the ocean.
Yeah, come
they
on, could, Greeks.
They could have achieved that. Be they lived on the ocean. Come on.
Be better. Yeah, that's right. Max claims the Greeks suck. and were stupid and didn't know anything about science. You heard it here first.
I mean, okay.
You take what you want from that.
Aristotle, I think that was one of the big famous ones. He was wrong about a lot. That's a true thing. And
so he sucked.
But he even shunned a guy that came up with the first model of an atom, like matter being composed of very small particles.
But was the atom guy correct?
He was correct. We have atoms. Yeah, exactly. Aristotle, what a guy, eh? But I think
so much more if it wasn't for him.
I mean, we could have been a lot farther ahead, I guess. You know, it's funny to look at, you know, small events like that guy just saying his model was wrong when they didn't have scientific proof. And just imagining that if they had accepted that and actually done studies on that, how far ahead we could be. Because really, work on just like quantum analysis and quantum physics and all the study of particles and stuff, right? That started pretty much back up in like
30 years ago.
Well, yeah, but like even like the first like reignition, like
right, yeah, that was a while ago.
That was a while ago, like and especially just, like you're looking from
to work on it more.
Like yeah, the Greeks were 3,000 years ago. The fact that nothing was touched all the way up to them, and I think it's actually relatively same thing with gravity because Newton was that was 17th century, I think, 17th century. He was one of the first people that we think about to kind of think about actually solving gravitational problems. And it's the great thing about gravity is it works for everything. He was able to use the same stuff to solve, you know, why if I have my mouse and I drop my mouse.
Oh.
It's the same thing that affects the moon coming around the Earth and the Earth going around the sun.
As wide or as unrelated those two things are, they all rely on the exact same principle.
So I think we'll go through the Newtonian physics, the Newtonian gravity, and then second half we can talk about a little bit about relativity and then just, you know, interesting things that gravity does, I guess.
There's a lot to say. I don't know if we can cover everything in an episode because you could go on absolutely. For days about gravity.
But I think, you know, it'd be interesting to talk about, you know, just the formation of our universe using gravity because there's some interesting things that it did.
It helped.
It kind of helped.
Just a little. You know, we can't give it the gold medal and the crown all right away. You know, we got to look at everyone. But, you know, he was there.
I guess we give him participation then.
Participation band, you know, it's like one of those little ribbons they give you. Participation in creating the universe. Give it up for gravity, everyone. Participation award.
Yeah. All right. So there's this. So basically, Newton's law, he came up with three laws of force and motion, which are tied in with his gravity. And now you do need to understand. Now you do need calculus to actually understand like the complete working
calculus. Well, I'm doing calculus this year.
Yes. But you do need to understand that to fully, you know, actually understand the mathematical principles of it. But you know, like rate over change and like understanding the curve. But that we don't need that. We don't need that. We're special. I guess.
Yeah, why would we ever need calculus? Why would you even assume we need to learn calculus? So unimportant. Workplace math is the way to go.
Yeah. Workplace math.
Workplace math.
Workplace math. Yeah, what a fantastic thing. You know that?
You could choose.
That's the way you gotta go. There's no other options.
If you're looking to get into the math section, workplace math is the way you wanna go.
Because you're gonna go into a workplace of math. You're gonna learn about math in the workplace.
Yeah, you're gonna work on math.
Obviously. Yeah. So I think one of the main equations that comes with just his overall gravity is basically the masses of the two objects, divide them by their distance squared, and that you get their gravitational attraction on each other.
So and we're pretty close to E equals MC squared, correct? He kind of, he had a little bit of it, right? And then Einstein had to come in and wobble them around and fix them for him.
Yeah, because, well, we'll get into that in a bit, but Newtonian gravity does break down in some places, but that's in a second.
At the center of the black holes, maybe?
Perhaps. But basically, one of the things that you can realize from this is that you also generate a gravitational field. It's just really...
Look at me, guys. Look at me. Just look how cool I am. I've got my own gravitational field.
You know what? You also are comprised of... You're also comprised of waves, because... I know this is not really on topic, but because people... A guy realized that, hey, if light has a wave and a particle, then perhaps matter has a wave and a particle. And as Einstein said, matter and energy are linked. So it wasn't too big of a stretch to hypothesize that you have a wave.
So just like that, I'm even and more cool than you said before.
And it's even true. You do have a wave. It's just you're taking basically your momentum, which is your mass and velocity, and then you're timesing it by a constant, which is, or you're, is it dividing? Or I think you're dividing it by a constant or timesing it. Don't quote me on this, but basically because you have a huge, I'm just trying. Okay. So because you have a huge amount of mass and velocity, just everything you move, you always have, you have a lot of velocity and mass, which means you have a high momentum. And then basically, I think you're dividing it by the constant. And the constant is extremely small. Or no, maybe you're dividing the constant by your mass and velocity. And because that's so high, that gives you extremely small number for how high your wave is. Like, it matters on the scale of a electron, an electron. In fact, there is a wave particle. There is actually like experiments that have been done with that. And that's the reason we have electron orbitals instead of electron clouds instead of orbitals, because they're kind of waves. And this is a lot of complex stuff. But basically the thing is, we have just far too much mass. When you take this tiny constant and divide it by a huge number as our mass and velocity is, you get an infinitesimally small number that is literally smaller than a hydrogen atom for our wave. But for smaller things, this wave means more because it can actually be larger than them. And that's an actual wave that matters. So you are a wave, Zach. It's just not as special as you might hope.
I'll take it. I get called special enough. That's okay. I mean, I've got an electromagnetic field. I've got waves. What more do you ever need in life?
Yeah, you have electromagnetic, gravitational. You peak. Where is it to go now?
Neil deGrasse Tyson interview thrown out the window. Finding out I have a magnetic field. Peak of my damn life. Thank you very much. That's all I could ever ask for.
Yeah, and so anyways, just as we're on the topic of Newtonian gravity, there's something I want to talk about, and it's just force. Because we can talk about his three laws and just how they kind of work with his gravity. And I just want to say, when he developed his three laws, they are very, very intelligent. And because a lot of them are completely...
I forgot who Newton was. Never mind. Yeah.
No, but like, think about it. Some of his concepts are so, like, they're so contrary to our everyday experiences. For example, every action, there was an equal and opposite reaction. Why do we like that is something that seems super weird. And until you think about it, because we have friction and that stops these from being exact. But then you think about it. And if I throw my phone against the wall, my phone is imparting a force upon the wall. And the wall is imparting that same force back on the phone. And then you think, but if there's equal and opposite forces, how is anything moving? Well, because my phone has a lot less momentum than that wall, which has a ton more mass and is connected to my floor and my house. So the same force does a lot more onto the phone than it does onto the wall. But I just want to say it's a very brilliant thing to think about. And a lot of scientific things, when they're first thought of, they're so contrary to our modern beliefs. And the same thing is with general relativity, something that completely shook up the entire scientific field. It still does. I mean, I was just learning. I was just kind of reading into it a little bit for this episode. And I mean, there's some insanely weird stuff with it. And I'll actually talk a little bit about that. And I'm sure, Zach, you probably can point out some really interesting things with it. But
yeah, there's a lot to say there.
There's absolutely tons to say. Where was I? Oh, yes, forces. So I just wanted to say this. For some reason, I'm really enjoying talking about this. But forces are something very simple. But you know what? If we're talking about Newton and his gravity, we got to talk about the Newton. It's a force.
Oh, never mind.
And it's very simple to actually understand. It's a force is calculated by, you know, mass times acceleration. So if I have like an apple that is 1 gram
from a tree,
or 1 kilogram, sorry. And I, no, wait, no, sorry. It's 10 grams. Sorry, just imagine I have an object that's 1 gram or 1 kilogram, right? And Earth has gravitational acceleration is about just 10 meters per second, you know, rounded up. Then you just multiply those. That means that it has a force of 10 newtons on it. Pretty simple stuff, but, you know, this is something that is sort of, it's not directly from Newton, but it's named after him, which is really cool. And I thought I should just mention it. And then obviously you got a Newton. Then you got a Newton.
His own name in a form of math. That's how cool this guy is.
Yeah, that's the only thing he has in a form of math, obviously. You know, it's not like he created calculus. No.
That's all he gets. That's all we know him for.
And then obviously there's a Newton meter, otherwise known as a joule, which is basically a force over distance. It's measuring work, and work is obviously... energy is the capacity to do work, and work is moving objects and moving stuff. So basically, a joule is just a Newton, like Newtons times distance in meters. And then finally, you know, I like this because Newtons, joules, and then you finally step up to the last one, which is watts, and that is joules over time. So it's the amount of work being done per second or per whatever time period you're looking at. Well, second, but yeah.
Is that where the term gigawatt comes from? And
kilowatt?
Kilowatt
hours. I mean, yeah.
Something what? It's a computer term, I think. I wouldn't know what a computer term.
Yeah. But, okay, so what is, Zach, what is Newton's first law? Please tell me. I forgot.
Action at a distance, isn't it?
No. I don't think is actually. Wait, isn't it every action? Sorry. So there's every action has an equal and opposite reaction. That's the second law, right? His three laws are.
I do this whole segment about my man, Mr. Newton here. You can't tell me his three laws.
I can. Objects will remain in motion. Objects will remain in, basically, inertia, the property that objects will remain in their current state of motion unless affected by an outside force. And then another thing that is so opposite to what we think. You might say, hey, my phone will stay still if there's no force acting on it. But if I throw my phone, it will stop even before it hits the ground. It will slow down. Its velocity will be changed. It will, you know, that is another thing. And he had to realize that, like air, there's friction in the air. There's, again, so many things that are so contrary to like your modern, like your personal understanding of the world. Like, think about it. If I pushed a spring in space without any air molecules, it would go forever. Nothing because if it's a hypothetical perfect spring without any friction, it would go forever. Because, yeah, there's no air resistance. It would just keep going, and obviously it would lose energy, but like hypothetically speaking, without losing energy, it would go forever.
That's pretty cool.
Pretty cool. I know,
it'd take a long time to go forever, but
it's so hard to just understand the concept of forever.
What really is forever?
I mean, forever can't even be a thing because the universe is gonna end one day, and we're all gonna die with it.
Oh, don't tell them that. It's not like it's going to happen what? 13 million or trillion years in the future.
You might say it's that far away, but remember, you know, the only real inhabitable periods of that will be, you know, a little bit shorter. Time is another thing that is just crazy. And we did talk a little bit about it, but it is just a huge topic as far as just understanding time.
Gravity like to connect with each other a little bit.
We'll go into that in a full relativity episode, perhaps.
There's even more to say there.
But you know what? I've forgotten his third law. So let's... Newton's laws.
Oh, this is disappointing, everyone. Please email us and shame Max for forgetting the one thing he wanted to talk about in this half.
Oh, okay. His second law is just the force one. Okay, that's my bad.
Please do not forget to shame Max for this. This isn't acceptable. He's just gotten away with it. Don't let it happen.
We're gonna take a short break. And we'll be right back talking about gravity onto the Max.
Hopefully he doesn't forget what he wants to talk about this time. Hopefully
we'll be right back.
Google search will be necessary.
And snap. Okay. 3, 2, 1. All right, everyone. Welcome back. Hope you enjoyed us making money.
Gravity. Oh, yes, we.
Zach likes money.
No better capitalism. No better feeling than earning a paycheck, how little it might be.
So I kind of want to talk about. So I think we're going to move into relativity. And if you hear my dog in the background, do not worry.
The case of rabies. Does he have rabies? Is that why he's so mad?
Zach.
Has he ate like the neighborhood mouse, and then now his mouth got all puffy, and he's something wrong?
So moving into relativity, as I said, one of the most strange things, and
this time hopefully Max won't have to Google anything.
I won't. We can hopefully.
We can
help. Okay. So,
hands up. No, yeah, no hands on the keyboard.
Okay.
Here.
Hands are off the all keyboard. The first thing I want to say is I don't fully understand the math for all this. Okay.
No astrophysicist.
Not yet. But just trust me on this stuff for the time being. Okay. So, the first thing I'm going to say is now after getting that out of the way.
Max, you contributed so much to the astrophysics world and discovering relativity. So you have the right to say we. Thank you very much. Oh, you didn't like that comment at all.
So the first thing I'm going to say is that. So the thing that is allowed by what's it called? By relativity.
Bye-bye.
Is that in curved space, it's a whole other topic, but that's basically when large objects curve space. It's just a weird thing. But think about it this way: sometimes, in order to be moving absolutely still, you have to be moving. All right, this is a weird thought, okay?
In order to not move, you need to move.
Exactly. Accelerate just to stay still. It is so weird.
Now, how do you do that? How do I stand still and then go?
It's hard to explain. Anything? And it really requires the math, which is I don't fully understand. But think about it this way. In some scenarios, you might be in this curve, and in order to stay out of this curve, you have to keep accelerating out of the curve or into the curve or along the curve in order to stay still. So that is just, that's the thing with the curve, okay? And now you might say, why is this even important? This could be completely hypothetical and stuff. Why would I even bring this up?
I just had to fill you in.
Because this helped actually talk about gravity a little bit. So most of relativity, at least I think general relativity, is basically that large objects curve space. So I feel like there's a quote, I don't know who it's by, but it's basically space tells matter tells space how to curve, and space tells matter how to move. And that's actually quite true about this. So basically very massive objects bend space-time. And this answered another question about how light would be affected by gravity, because with Newtonian gravity, there is no way to predict the effects of gravity on light. It just didn't make sense.
Right.
However, with this curvature of space, this allowed it to make sense. Light was not being attracted. It was following a straight path, but which was curved by someone outside and who was watching from their own frame of reference. But the person, like light, if I were light, I would be traveling along a straight path and it would just be straight. That's the end of it. But from you looking at it, well, honestly, light doesn't experience time. So all they know is when they're admitted to when they die, which is just no time at all.
It's alive?
No. But just hypothetically, if they could think, they would not even be able to quantify the time between when they're admitted and they die, because time has no... Exactly.
They're going faster than time. No, they're going at the edge of time.
But anyways, this is the thing. This is how black holes capture light. They curve space-time so much that light's path, unlike the sun, which just bends it and makes stars appear as if they were in different locations, it curves it into itself and piles all the light, and the light's straight path, if it were going right past it, it would normally just go past it. But because it's such a deep gravity well is probably the best analogy for it. It curves into it.
Right.
And this was the thing about Newtonian physics. It didn't match up for, I think, very high mass things, as well as extremely fast moving things. And Einstein's relativity really helped solve this. And for most equations, you can still use Newton's physics. For anything here on Earth, it doesn't matter. It
applies perfectly well. It's just when you leave and go other places.
Yeah. Like if you're going really fast, like 99.9% the speed of light or the speed of light, then there's some things that change. And E equals mc squared, although not directly proportionate to gravity, it is in a sense, but it showed that light, that like the faster you go, the more mass it feels like you have, because the more energy you have and the closer the speed of light, the more energy you contain. And this is the same reason why NASA can actually use light to propel things, because light has mass, and in a sense, you're throwing out mass, which will give you propulsion. It's really cool stuff. But basically, this gave a whole new take to how gravity was kind of perceived. And now I want to get back to that accelerating to stand still. Now, this is a very abstract thinking of it. But imagine this. Einstein, one of the things he was most fond of was thinking of a guy falling off a building. And this is said a lot, but basically the cool thing about this is while he is falling, he experiences...
The ladder guy.
He would be in free fall. The same as someone in the International Space Station. They are not in a place of no gravity. They are just in a place where they're still in the Earth's gravity, but they're just moving fast enough. And they're falling. They're falling, but they're just moving sideways at the same speed that they are falling.
Which ends up to make a circle, which is orbit.
Yes.
Yay.
And if you think about it this way, they are actually going straight, but the Earth is curving space around them. And it's the same reason that, you know, we seem like we feel like we're walking in a straight path. If you're walking,
if you keep going, we come back.
Like if we had two people walking, we had two people walking from like both sides of the United States, just walking up to the North Pole, they will eventually reach the same place, even though they're both traveling straight lines that are both parallel to each other when they start, because a seemingly flat line is actually curved. And I believe these are called geodesics. And it's super weird to think of. But back to the ladder guy. He is in free fall.
We need to remember him.
He has no forces acting on him. And in a sense, you could think of it as the Earth is coming up. He has stopped, and the rest of the Earth is accelerating towards him.
He's not the one moving, but we are coming up, and we're going to meet him.
However, here's my problem with this. And it's that...
Someone else is falling.
Someone else is falling. If they start falling at different times, how would it make sense for them to both be accelerating at different rates? Like, the first guy, if he starts a second later, he'll be going at 9 meters per second. But the second guy will be going at 18 meters per second. Which is a big difference.
Work. It doesn't work. Yeah, it doesn't work. It
doesn't work. And a lot of people have said, including the flat earthers, which might tell you something.
No, the flat earthers, what a group.
That imagine group. If you were in a spaceship traveling at 9 meters per second squared. And you jumped up. Then you feel the 9 meters per second. Then you'd feel the 18 meters per second. You know, you keep, every second you keep, you know, increasing your speed. However, the problem is, if you're actually traveling at that speed, you will keep accelerating. And even once you hit the ground, the spaceship will still be accelerating. So the next time you take off, you might, the next time you jump, you'll be actually jumping to an acceleration of like 36 meters per second or something like that, you know?
Yeah.
And I mean, there is the problem in imagining that you're in a spaceship with 9 meters per second of acceleration.
Would that be bad or good? That'd be bad.
That'd be bad.
It's math.
It's math. And this is the problem with imagining that the Earth comes up to meet you. Because if it actually kept accelerating ever, the reason I like Newtonian physics is, one, it's simpler, which is not always good. But
calculus is everything there is for math. Calculus is the holy, or not the holy, but the grand of math.
You know, an interesting thing about calculus is a lot of people think it's very difficult, but it's only kind of mid-tier as far as math stuff goes. Like, there's a lot more complex, like, just, like, actual, like, not even, like, obviously, there's questions, like, there's, like, more complex actual, like, works using it and stuff. But there's actually more complex just concepts that you have to grasp past calculus. But that's a completely separate thing.
Yeah, calculus is a deep hole that you can drag yourself down into. Whether you pull yourself back up is a
completely different thing.
Yeah, it's hard to say.
But the problem with imagining that gravity, and this is the thing about relativity, it's basically saying that gravity isn't a force. All right.
Now, what does that mean?
That means.
Explain it to me.
That the thing about it is, gravity is not pulling on you. It is just creating a curved straight path. And this seems wrong in some senses, and it seems really weird. Like, it makes sense in some places, but it seems very abstract in others. Like, you're thinking about it, and you say, hey, okay, it makes sense. The Earth follows a curve with the sun. It thinks it's going straight, but it keeps bending, right?
Right.
But then you think about us, and you might be a little bit confused. But then again, think about it this way. You know, you might think that you have a straight path going forward and off the Earth, but because your straight line path is curved, it curves around into the Earth, and you're connected to the Earth. It's a really weird thought, but I guess you have to be able to grasp it in some sense. And obviously, we're not trying to understand it fully, but the point is that, you know, the world is a weird place.
Gravity as a whole is weird. I think it's better to say that.
gravity as a whole is weird. And, you know, it's and the thing with relativity, it undermines the thought of gravity being a force for some people. And it's true, but it's weird because gravity is taught as a force. Gravity is still one of the four fundamental forces between weak nuclear or weak nuclear energy and then a strong nuclear force and then the electromagnetic force. It's still considered a force, but it doesn't have the same action at a distance. Whereas, you know, electromagnetic is the actual electromagnetic field that exists and is emanating from an object. Whereas, is this really a force? It's just, it's not really pulling on you directly. It's just creating a path for you to follow. Is that a force? This is.
And then what do you consider to be a force?
Exactly.
Where do you draw the line?
This is just showing you how ahead, like how just forward thinking Einstein was with coming up with the general relativity. General
relativity.
And then obviously special relativity following that up, going bang, bang.
Special relativity. Oh, even more. Just on weird, well, not as weird, but
you know,
weird. Everything he thought about, he did was weird.
Yeah, but
we'll give him the benefit of the doubt. He was going through some weird times, and
this is something that I was talking with. This is something I was talking with Zach about just before we came back for the break. Was one of my favorite things about Einstein. Is he absolutely detested the idea of quantum physics, but his own general relativity allowed it.
Yeah, he proved it to be true, even though he hated it so much.
That's a fun fact for you. Zach, do you have anything else to say?
Well, I mean, gravity as a whole has always been an interesting topic. There's always been a lot to talk about. There's always been more to cover, but obviously we can't do that now. I mean, if you want to get the 5-hour podcast talking about everything there is to say and do about gravity, go ahead, but not here. Not here.
Not here. So I think that's good. I think it's a little bit short of an episode. It's a little bit short of an episode. But we're back from break. I think this was great to do, Zach. Thank you very much. Thank you to everyone listening. And
remember to email Max about not knowing Newton's second law.
And while you're at it, email us some questions. We'd love to have them.
We saw the recent Twitter post, so we have a new topic coming up. Actually, want to just repeat that a little, summarize that Twitter post for us?
Well, you know, I don't.
A little sense.
If you're already listening to this, once that podcast, like once our second podcast is aired, you can completely disregard this. But if you're listening to this episode right now, when it comes out, you just said no. That is the most pointless thing you could say, Zach.
Well, I mean, they're listening to it now when they're listening to it. So, I mean, it's close. So, you know, I'm not wrong.
We're not going into this time crap again.
No.
But basically, if you listen to this now, we will be doing an episode about kind of the technology that allowed space exploration, specifically, you know, boosters and actual propulsion systems. Rocket ships, and then talking about the future programs and what we think they'll be doing with propulsion. If you have any questions, please do email us or DM us, and we'll be happy to take them. We're desperate. Really desperate. So with that being said, guys, I want you guys to have a safe and fantastic rest of your day, and I'll catch you guys in another podcast.